prepare your hearts. We prepare our hearts even right now, Lord. We open our hearts to hear what you say. We want to know your plans, your purposes. You, what you say is what matters to us. That's what matters. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Hey, Josiah, will you help me out, buddy? Lyrics.
And a single lie that tells me I will never measure up.
We're going to start at the top again. You ready? I keep seeing it.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough.
Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up.
Oh, what you say of me. Yes, I believe. I believe.
We believe. We believe. We keep on believing. We believe. We believe. We believe you, our Heavenly Father. We believe you. You are my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want besides still waters. You lead my spirit on. Your hand will guide me no matter where I walk. Through darkest valley, your love is not far off. And I will dwell in your house forever. I will dwell in your house forever. I will dwell in your house forever. Lead me on.
And his keeping. It's his goodness that protects us, that confines us even.
Are a strange mercy in a world where I'm not.
One more time through.
Your rod and your staff are a strange mercy in a world where I'm not yet.
Father, we thank you that we are of your household and that even now we are being led as members of your household. We will dwell in your house forever starting today. And through this time, through this place, we will go forward with you, living in your house and being led on by you. And with gratitude, we do just that. Lead us on. Call me out on the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name. Oceans rise, my soul rests in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine, oh, you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine, you are mine, I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are.
We're so grateful that you call us from where we are to beyond where we can be into where you are and therefore where we must be. We love the fact that we are yours and that you are ours. And we delight in your call that goes beyond.
Grand earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not even when my eyes can't see.
We're going to sing that one again.
Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well.
Let go my soul and trust in him. Waves and wind still know his name. Let go my soul and trust in him. Waves and wind still know his name. Let go my soul and trust in him. Waves and wind still know his name.
One more time, speak to your soul.
Let go my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with Through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
When our eyes are on you, oh God, oh God of our salvation, when our eyes are on you, it is well with me. It is well. It is well.
You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you.
We serve this amazing God. He loves to reveal his mysterious ways. He loves to share with us his amazing secrets. He loves to share with us.
You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. We believe in your Son and the power of the cross. We believe in your blood and what it did for us. We believe in your kingdom. Your kingdom has come here on earth. Will of God be done. Oh, we will ascend your holy mountain. We will stand in your presence, speak to the wind. Oh, eyes have not seen what you have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what you have for those who believe. You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you. Son and the power of the cross. We believe in your blood and what it did for us. We believe in your kingdom. Your kingdom has come here on earth. Will of God be done. Oh, we will ascend your holy mountain. We will stand in your presence, the wind. Oh, eyes have not seen what you have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what you have for those who believe.
Your God is the God who loves to give you everything. Everything of his, he wants to give it to you. He is not a greedy. He is not a miser. He is the most generous being you will ever come into contact with. He loves to give you his stuff. And we are those that love to receive His stuff. By faith, we receive His stuff.
You reveal Your secrets and all Your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with You. Reveal Your secrets and all Your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with You.
We are in love with You.
We believe in Your Son and the power of the cross. We believe in Your blood and what it did for us. We believe in Your kingdom. Your kingdom has come. We're on earth. Will of God be done. We will ascend Your holy mountain. We will stand in Your presence. Speak to the wind. Eyes have not seen what You have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what You have for those. We will ascend Your holy mountain. We will stand in Your presence. Speak to the wind. Oh, eyes have not seen what You have for us, Lord. Ears have not heard what You have for those who believe.
We are those, Father, that believe. And that we would walk out on the water toward You. That we would walk where it doesn't seem safe. Where we just want, we believe in You, and we want everything You have for us. We believe You.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our song, deliverer. You are the everlasting God.
Good to have God on our side. He thinks it's good when you're on his side. Are you on God's side? Just a couple of items that we should remember. This week we are faced with box building on Wednesday and the opportunity to serve hundreds of others serving the Lord the day to come. What's wrong, Betsy? My phone. Yes, that's a bad thing. Phones are bad. Ron, you have an announcement to make. Would you come and announce? This is Ron Verdow. Everybody say good morning, Ron. We're glad you came. Here you go, Ron. You're alive, so be careful what you say.
Okay.
Say something nice.
Good morning, everybody. About end of March, we went to a pre-screening of a movie, and it was called Unplanned, and it was put together by, it was sponsored by CareNet of Wayne County, and it was about the abortion industry and mainly concentrating on Planned Parenthood. And at the end of the movie, which was very intense, they had a petition that we could sign that eventually was going to go to Governor Cuomo's office, and it was going to be for repealing of the Reproductive Health Act that they passed recently in Albany. And so we would be blessed if we're going to keep have some on the table there if you would sign, and it will go in a package and will be sent all together to a group called New Yorkers for Life, and it's in Scottsville, New York. And probably a few months back, Pastor said that if you pray that a legislator in Albany would come to pro-life rather than the abortion, you know, side of the coin, that that would be we need each day to have a legislator come over to God's side. And and since that time, in the movie, an administrator in Planned Parenthood who was responsible for 22,000 abortions came to pro-life. 22,000. The clinic that she worked at closed, and a new planned clinic that was going to be multi-million dollars never opened. So praise God. And I was watching TV just about a week ago.
You watch TV?
I watch TV every once in a while.
How can you do that? Oh, once in a while, okay.
Because Estella leaves it on.
Oh, it's her fault. The woman thou gavest me.
And I walked by and it was on. No, and there's a show on TBN. Mike Huckabee is like a governor, an ex-governor. Well, on that show, there was a doctor who did 1,400 abortions, who came over to pro-life. He was making $800 every 15 minutes and walked away from it because he knew that that wasn't the way to be.
Amen.
Amen. So there is prayers working through with God. Everything is possible.
Amen. Would you do one thing for us, Ron? Would you lead us in a very short prayer that God will still, even yet, bring somebody over?
Yes.
Would you do that, Ron? And we'll just agree with you. Go ahead.
God in heaven, we know the sanctity of life is so important. You knew, it says, you told us that you knew us when we were in our mother's womb. And we ask you that the legislatures in Albany, the legislature any place in this United States of America, come over to your side, God, that they understand that the abortion issue, that life is so beautiful in life. The sanctity of life, please, God, bring these people to your side and let this country swing in the right direction. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. We're glad that Nate Savage came today, and I'd like Nate to come and share something out of his heart, if you have anything. The elder Nate, he talks better than the other one. Come, Nate, and introduce your wife. It's been so long since she's been here that we hardly know her anymore. And introduce your family to us. I know that you all three have been here before, but...
Well, we just want to introduce Nathan Gabriel Savage. He was born almost 4 weeks ago, about 3.5 weeks ago. And he's doing great. And we're grateful to God for him and for Courtney and everyone who was supportive.
He has grown since the last time I saw him. He's half grown. Will he be playing football this fall, or is that another year away?
Maybe a couple more years. He might be bigger than both of us, though.
I think he is going to be. He's got a head start, that's for sure.
Yep. But he gets his brains and his good looks from his mother. So.
What did he get from you?
I know what he got from you, Grandpa. Every time I try to sleep at night, he's...
Well, welcome to the Savage family. You get anything to say, Courtney?
Love my baby.
You love your baby, yeah. On the outside as well as the inside. Welcome to both of you, all three of you. He's got a plug in his mouth. Does that work?
Don't walk away just yet. Don't walk away just yet. In the name of Jesus, we just declare blessing over this family. But we are so grateful to you for a man of God, a woman of God, and this precious child. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we again just decree your grace over them, over everything that they represent, their all of the output of their life. We declare your blessing and your grace, your favor, in ascending proportions, your favor over this family. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed them. You have declared a blessing over them, even by the existence of this young little Nathan here. You have declared them to be a blessed family. And we bless them. We agree with you and decree your blessing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We love you guys.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Glad you could come today. Probably young Nathan is glad you came too. Did we cover all the bases?
Did you say something about food pantry?
Yeah, I did.
Good. I wasn't listening, apparently.
Yeah, you're goofing off, huh?
I tell you. Some guys, you know, the young guy comes in and he thinks he can just whatever, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. Just real quick, before we get to the message, we're going to have a pre-message. Today, as most of you are probably aware, is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a significant precursor of Easter. In Luke chapter 19, you see the beginnings of things as things led up to the cross of Jesus. Jesus, in verse 1, entered Jericho and was passing through.
in that place, he reached out to Zacchaeus, and made his declaration that it's not the religious people, but the people that want to hear something from the Lord, that want to grab a hold of something from him, that are willing to maybe climb a tree or do something stupid and look kind of dumb, but are going to pursue the one. And then when favor is released, when favor is offered, when grace is offered, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today. That grace is put into action because Zacchaeus says, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have you at my house, but not just that. I'm going to repent for all the things I ever done. And more than repent, I'm going to give back multiples of anything I've ever stolen. That grace, that favor, Zacchaeus did it right there. That's verse 1 through a few. Then Jesus goes on in that same chapter and says, gives us a parable, the parable of the minas. And you know, Betsy, we're going to sing one more song, okay? You know that the parable of the minas is, I've given you investment, what you going to do with it? Right? I'm not going to go into it deeply because I don't have time to go into it deeply. But in verse 26, Jesus sums it up saying, I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And when he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. So I'm telling you, we're getting close here. And he demonstrates his grace and the effectiveness of his grace in Zacchaeus. And then he calls everyone who has ever had any investment at all of God's grace and says, put it to use, put it to use. So he approaches Bethphage and Bethany and the mount called Olivet. He sends two of his disciples to get the colt. What's the colt? It's actually a young donkey. And he comes in on a young donkey, not as one to conquer this realm, but as one to offer peace to all of us in the form of grace. And the multitudes shouted, blessed be the name of the Lord. The multitudes shouted, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The religious people said, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said the stones would cry out if they were silent. And then, as he approaches Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept. In the midst of everyone else's celebration, Jesus wept. If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they'll be hidden from your eyes. Let me just say, the same people were at that moment gloriously shouting and delighting, glory in the highest, and blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The same crowd would be the crowd that said, crucify him. Jesus said, if you'd only known, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade around you, and your whole city will be razed with your children under it. Because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Perhaps in the midst of the most glorious celebration of Jesus' temporal existence, one of the saddest statements, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Perhaps one of the saddest statements. Now we can fast forward to the cross, and in the cross, in perhaps the most difficult and devastating moment, he makes another statement, and the other statement is perhaps one of the most glorious statements, which is, it is finished, it is accomplished, it's done. But today we celebrate, yes, a glorious party, but the saddest statement. You did not recognize the time of your visitation. Today, I want us to prepare our hearts to gloriously worship and not miss the day of our visitation. I want us today
to get the best of both. To love the glorious entry, but to be ready to receive the grace that changes and moves us, so we do not miss the day of our visitation, so that the mina given, the mina invested, provides the return to the investor, that is God Himself, that He's looking for in our lives. Can you agree with me on that? Father, we are prepared this day to repent before You. We are, in fact, ready to repent. We're ready to be changed. And every investment of Your grace, every investment of Your favor, we, our hearts, embrace not just to have, but to move and be moved by You. And we delight. And we join with that crowd. In that place, we join with the crowd and say, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah for the salvation of God. And blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, save our Savior. We welcome You. Joyfully. Delighted to repent. Delighted to be shifted by Your glorious grace in Your arrival. We're going to sing one more song. It's called Hosanna. And I want you please stand with me and let's worship God in that dual place, not missing our visitation, but glorying in this incredible visitation of Him.
I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things I've seen. Show me how to love like You have loved me. Break my heart to what breaks Yours. Everything I am for Your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity.
One more time, you guys. Break.
It clean. Open up my eyes to the things I'm seeing. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth
seated. I want to welcome you here and thank you for being here. Papa, you got something to say?
I just was thinking about the occasion when Jesus talked about the talents, and you might think, well, what was I given? How about today? He gave you today. Is that worthwhile or not? The mercy of God in giving you today. How many of you deserve today?
Nope.
I see those hands, yes. Everything that we have, including the life for this hour today, everything, is undeserved, and it's the goodness of God. It's a talent. It's a gift from God. And the question, of course, is what will you do with the gift that God has given you? You almost sometimes might think, you know, well, he didn't give me $10,000 to invest. Well, maybe not. But he gave you life today. How will you invest your life today? So I'm going to just pray for a moment and ask the Lord to help us invest our lives starting today, starting now. So, Father, we thank you for life that you've given us. Certain talents, certain abundances. Yeah, we've got money and we've got voice. We've got life. You've invested your life into us. And today we thank you. And Father, we present ourselves as living sacrifices, that you would use these lives to bring glory to your name. Be glorified with the life that you have granted me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would just like you to say those words. Be glorified in the life that you have granted me. Isn't that an interesting prayer? Be glorified in the life that you have granted me. In your bulletin, there's a couple of things that are of interest, but I'd like you to not overlook them. And there's a prayer in here. And It starts on the first inside page. It's part of the effort to pray for the nation. And it begins like this: Father, I come boldly into your throne room, covered in the blood of Jesus. I submit and commit my entire spirit, soul, and body, birthright, and destiny unto you. In Jesus' name, I bind myself to you, Father. Jesus and Holy Spirit, I choose life and blessing in Jesus' name. I agree with every true prophetic word spoken over me and my family. Let the ordained days written in your book be established in the church and in our land. Let us grow up in our salvation and walk in the full inheritance that you have for us in Christ Jesus. We come into agreement with your kingdom plan and purposes for us and for all connected with us. Let your anointing uproot, tear down, destroy, and overthrow everything in my life that does not line up with your word, your will, and your way for me and mine. Baptize me and fill me afresh with your spirit and fire. How about that prayer? For me, for us,
amen,
for our nation.
Amen.
Well, take the bulletin home and read on. There's plenty of good stuff for you to read there.
Today I have a couple of parts to the message I want to bring to you. And Dad's bringing out some handouts for you today. We've talked a lot about this little acronym CJA. CJA, the commands, the judgments, in the appointments of God. And I'm going to review again today, and I realize that is review after review after review for many of you, and I apologize for that, but I feel like it's such a key truth that if we don't acquire it, it's losing the day of visitation. It's ignoring the grace available to us. It's essential for us to grab a hold of this piece, and so I want to encourage us strongly to do that. So the first side of the sheet is not the pretty side of the sheet, it's the ugly side of the sheet. Okay, so go to the ugly side of your sheet, we're going to talk about the commands, the judgments, and the appointments of God. So you remember, actually on the bottom side of the pretty side of your sheet, there's a scripture that says, Deuteronomy 10, I'm going to start with. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways? And remember, we started with that. The whole issue is that we would walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep. What does keep mean? Keep. Okay, thank you. To keep the Lord's commands and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today, for your good. Here's for your good. I'm doing this all for your good. All of this is for your good. Okay, I'm here just simply to do your good. I want to accomplish good for you, so here I am, says God, to you. I'm here. This is your day of visitation. Here's grace for you. It's for your good. Do it, okay? Then if you go up one there, it says Deuteronomy 26:17. You have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep. What does keep mean? Keep, hold on to, grab a hold of, do not let go of, guard. Keep his statutes, commandments, and ordinances, and listen to his voice. Okay, so this is the key issue. Walk in his ways, listen to his voice, and keep three things: his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances. And remember,
You know, when I first looked at this, it looked to me like his law, and his other law. And that's not the case, okay? That's not about it. It's not about keeping, as in completely, perfectly obeying some set of laws. That's not the game. The game plan is for you to hold on to and believe and not let go of what? Well, his commands. That word commandments could I believe, is more legitimately translated commands. His commands. What has he told you to do? What is he telling you to do? His commands to you. This is a key piece of what you need to know. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect in accomplishing those things, but you hold on to those things and keep them until you see them accomplished through you. You understand what I'm saying? Keep those. Keep those. Go.
His command can be something as simple as, like when he said, let there be light, that was a command.
Yes.
And so if he says to you, you're going to get younger, that's a command. Hang on to it.
Yeah, and it's a truth that he gives to you. You had a comment or a question?
He didn't make them suggestions. He made them 10 commandments.
He made them commands. He made them commands, and they're not, they're for you to hold on to, for you to not let go of. You can't execute those perfectly without his grace. You'll need his grace to do it. But hold on to him and hold on to his grace until those things happen. But hold on to them. They're his commands. And let me just say something to you. If he says, George B. Osborne Sr., go do that thing, even if it's jump over a 10-foot fence, if he says it to you, it's because you can do it. And he will enable you, I don't care what it is that he has told you to, he will enable you by his grace to accomplish his commands. So hold on to his commands and don't let go of them. That's his commands. The second thing is his ordinances. When we talk about ordinances, it comes from actually a judicial verdict, okay, a judgment. So let's not say ordinances, because I think of town ordinances or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about judgments, his judgments. What are we talking about when we speak about his judgments over you? A couple of fold, twofold at least, okay? It's the mechanism by which he judges you, okay? Which is through the divine exchange. That which was due to Jesus, it now becomes due to you. That which was due to you got paid for on the cross, okay? So there's this judgment, this mechanism, this way of judging that is something you've got to hold on to. And the way that he judges you is he says, everything due to my perfect son is now due you. And that's not just good things. That's also his very nature. You see, God judged his son to be perfect in his heart, to be the exact representation of the Father. And you are judged to have that nature within you. That's his judgment over you. Now, that's a broad and incredibly broad and beautiful statement, okay? That's just amazing. But I'm telling you that you need to hear his judgments over your life. When he says to you that he has given you grace to do this, or he has given you grace to be that way, keep his judgment over you. Grab a hold of that and believe it, and don't dare let go of his judgment over you, because his judgment over you is good. For your good, he has given you his judgment over you. Go ahead.
So you said he says to Dad, you can jump this 10-foot fence.
That's his command, yep.
His judgment then, can you term that and phrase it in terms of the fence? His judgment says you are able to do that, that you have the ability.
So let me separate. Yes, I do. Let me separate for you, okay? Because I want to keep the thing separate. Okay, so his command is jump the fence. So he is able to jump the fence. That's a command and its ability. His judgment is, let's just say, you are love. But not that part. No, you are love. not just am I able, but I am love to this person. Okay, you are patient, you are kind, you are gentle, you are good. Okay, what does this mean? This means that I am, now maybe I don't feel it, maybe I don't sense that inside of me at the moment, but his judgment about me is that I am this way. I am like he is, okay? And it's not just what I can do, because that's sort of like a command. It's like who I am on the inside, the means, the way. God's heart is my heart, okay? So, I am patient. I'm perfectly patient. Why? Because he said so. I don't feel it. I don't care. I am it. Okay? So, and then we have the third thing, his statutes. And the statutes, as you recall, are his appointments. Okay? His appointments are both positional and timing. Okay? So you can have, you can be appointed, you know, as, you know, a governor, or appointed as a prefect, or appointed as secretary to the president, okay? Or the president appoints his whole cabinet, okay? So you could be appointed as chief of state or whatever, okay? Those are appointments. They're positional. The appointments can be also, you know, even like, you know, like regional. The appointments could be, you know, you could be appointed to governor, but you're not appointed to governor just generally. You're appointed to governor of, let's say, New York State, okay? You could be appointed to a particular, well, even the chief of staff, okay, in the president's, he has a certain region of authority. He can't do certain things. He can do other things. There's an appointment that's either regional in terms of space, but it also can be regional in terms of authority. And those are your appointments, and what do you do with your appointments?
Keep them.
You keep them. You grab a hold of them. You believe them. You hold on to them. You do not discard them. You keep them. Okay?
You have an area of influence.
An area of influence. That's a positional.
Just the people in your office. There's the possibility that you can put into them stuff that they're getting nowhere else, and you have that appointment, an area of influence. As a parent, you have an area of influence. Over your children and over your grandchildren. You have an area of influence. That's an appointment that God has given you. And along with the appointment is all that's necessary to accomplish that appointment.
Okay, so now Nate and Courtney have just been appointed to be parents. Okay? And that's a fact. And because of that, God has incredible grace to give to them to represent Him perfectly in that appointment in this time. Now, I want to say to you, appointments have boundaries in space. I mean, Nate and Courtney are not the parents of, you know, the kid that's 16 miles in that direction. Nope, they're not. They have a region of authority, and they have a select amount of time. They weren't parents 6 years ago. And so there's a timing about the appointment, and there's a region, whether it be in authority or possibly geography, there's appointment, and those, but what do you do with appointments?
Keep them, but recognize this as well, that their appointment is unique to them, and even in the area and in the timing, it's unique to them for that area, that appointment, that timing. And we can't go and look at how Nate did it and say, well, okay, now we know how to do it over here, because Nate's appointment is here, my appointment is there, and I need the same instruction from the same God to accomplish my appointment as He needs for His appointment.
Specifically. And the timing. You know, Nate and Courtney were married roughly 8 years. Okay, so everybody else has to be married roughly 8 years before they can be appointed to parenthood. Is that correct? That's just silly. And Nate and Courtney had this beautiful little boy. His name is Nathan Gabriel, right? Okay, so everybody should have the same appointment, right, to Nathan Gabriel, right? No, give me a break. That's theirs, okay? Each of us has our specific God-prescribed, God-ordained appointments, both in terms of time and in terms of position, whether that be geographical or authoritative or whatever it be, to accomplish different things. Now, even Nate and Courtney's appointment as parents actually changes over the time, over time. Okay, so they've just begun, and right now, Nate and Courtney's appointment includes, you know, changing diapers. Okay, it includes, you know, not sleeping most of the night for Courtney in particular. Occasionally, Nate has to, you know, his nights get okay. Those are appointments. Those are aspects of his appointment. Their appointments. Okay, in 18 years. Okay. The appointment's going to change somewhat, and in another, you know, 5 years, it'll change some more. And the level and the grace that God is going to require, that is going to be required for God to give to them in order to accomplish their appointment, changes because it's not the same, and it's a continuous thing. It's an appointment, but it's an appointment that's based on the grace of God. And what do with your appointments? You keep them. You hold on to them. You don't let go of them. You believe that God has established them and you hold them. You don't let go of your appointments. So you keep His commands. What He says you can do, you can do it. Now, I don't know if you can do it today. I don't know how He's going to make that happen for you, Dad. But you hold on to that command until it's accomplished because you believe it.
And there is this power that God releases. God power releases with the appointment to accomplish God purposes, and you get to participate.
If He didn't want to enable you to jump the fence, then He wouldn't have commanded you to jump it. So keep your commands. And if He didn't fully intend to make you personify His patience, then He wouldn't have told you to be patient in that circumstance. He was going to give all of His own heart, His nature, into you. He judged it into you so that you could be it. And He is accomplishing it in you. That's His judgments. And then His appointments. He is intent on having you accomplish certain things in certain times. And so He speaks it to you so that you can keep it and you can see it accomplished by His grace. Okay, on the back sheet, you see a worksheet. This is for you. This is not for me to fill out. You'll notice that I didn't fill it out. I put blank lines in it. And the reason I put blank lines in it is because I can't fill it out for you. I need you to fill it out. You need you to fill it out. The truth is, you need to fill this out every day. It wouldn't be a bad thing to actually physically fill this out in a moment, okay? Because it needs to become a process by which you grab a hold of the CJA, okay? What has God commanded you recently? What has He commanded you? What has He said for you to do or say or believe? What has He said about how you should do that, say it, or believe it, okay? What has He said? Those things are things you need to own because they're His commands. Are you ready for
Mike? Her? Yeah, Mike.
I don't have it. Who's got a mic?
Right there. Go ahead.
The Lord showed me something this week that goes right along with Pastor George is saying right now. So I met someone a year ago that the Lord gave me, our family met, his God's heart so strongly for. And we started pouring our lives into the person. Well, right after I met him, Jim and I had taken food over to his house. And when we left, I was crying in the car because I just felt so hurt by this person's brokenness, all the problems, all the situations with the person. And I heard in my spirit, only twice in my life I've heard words. And I heard, in front of you, you see one, but I see many. And so clearly. So I've pondered that, you know, throughout this past year. And I've said, Lord, what do you mean by the many? You know, this person has so many different, you know, their depression issues or this issues or they're part of a larger group, you know, let's say. Are you referring to them? And he goes, yep, all of it, all of it, all of it. All those that have, like, my heart is just broken over. And
break my heart for what breaks yours, God.
Yeah, exactly. And the Lord said, as you can't affect, touch everyone, but as you choose to receive my heart for that person and pour into them, I am doing like a reproduction, and I I'm hitting the many as you do what I've called you to do. And I was crying, but Lord, what about when I didn't do it right? You know, when I was going by my fleshly compassion in some areas, or I did too much, you know, by my own personal niceness and not really staying tuned into you the whole time. He said, it's covered. Like that one message Pastor George had once. He goes in, he takes out the good, he takes out all of that that you did lined up with him, and the rest of it is just burnt. It's just nothing. So, I don't know what else to say, but all of that whole scenario, I thought, went with what you're saying. And
So the reality is this. What God says, he'll accomplish in you, and you hold it. You'll probably make mistakes. No, let me just tell you the truth. You'll make mistakes, okay? In the process, you'll make mistakes. And that's all right, because he'll burn up those mistakes, and he'll grab the value out of it. But let me say this to you. You hold on to what he has said. Grab a hold of what he has said. His commands, his judgments, and his appointments.
And it's always bigger than the one thing you did do.
And the implication of it is always bigger as well.
Yep. And so what Paul is talking about, she did one, and then she did one other, and God's saying, don't worry about it. I'm covering 1,000 others because you did one other. Do another one, and I'll get another 1,000. This thing is bigger than anything natural or normal.
You never can see the full implications of your keeping his commands, his judgments, and his appointments. You can never see the full implications. You hold on to that, and when it's accomplished, or when a part of it, or the impact of that, it is generational, and it cannot be, you cannot circumscribe, you cannot draw a circle around the implication of your obedience. Just to believe, and then just to hold, and then just to obey what God has said. So I'm going to go through this sheet kind of quickly, because I do have a message that I want to speak to you, and this isn't it quite. This is a piece of it, and I want you to hear it. What has God commanded you recently? What has he said to do, say, or believe? How to say it, to believe it, to do it? Have you been listening about what he's saying to do? Have you been listening enough? Okay, good. Those are just questions on part A there, under one. Part B says, what are God's previously known instructions to you? Because, you know, there's some commands that you still probably should be holding on to that you shouldn't let go of just yet, because he hasn't fully accomplished them and you hold on to them. Have you checked in with him about those? You know, sometimes assignments or commands, you know, he wants you to do this for a period of time. That's true, okay? So go ahead and check in with him. Is this still my command? Good. If it is, grab a hold of it. Don't let go of that thing, okay? If he's gone on to the next thing, we'll go on to the next thing with him, okay? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He has commands for you. Check in with him on those. Part C, where do you need to repent to come into conformity with what he has told you to do? What am I meaning by that? If he has said, go jump that fence, and you haven't yet jumped the fence, then hold on to it. Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. And if he, you know, you might even say, God, what do I got to do to be able to jump the fence? And maybe he wants you to start lifting weights, okay, or doing squats so that, you know, I don't know what he wants. Or maybe he wants to teach you to fly. I don't know, okay? And it doesn't matter to me what he wants you to do, but you hold on to what he tells you that you're going to do, and you obey that by keeping it until he accomplishes it through you. Okay, so that's commands and your assessment before the Lord of what he has given you. Because let me just tell you something. He's given you minas. He's invested. His commands are his investment in you. He invests his word. And when he speaks his word in you, he's given you commands. He's given you something.
For your good.
For your good, to accomplish good for you. And he's going to look for a return on that investment. His judgments. What has Father judged about you and your arenas of authority? What has he spoken about your nature? When I say about arenas of authority, this is what I mean. Okay, So Dad is called to have some level of apostolic authority in the Wayne County region and actually beyond, okay? But let's just say Wayne County and apostolic. So the question is, What has God spoken as a judgment over you personally? Maybe you are grace to this person, or maybe you're the personification of a father for a number of people. That's you personally. But what has God spoken over Wayne County? His judgments over that region that he's given you authority in, okay? What is his judgment about there? Are you going to keep his judgments over that, not just over you personally, but over the region that you have been given authority? Okay? Do you see what I'm trying to say? So it's not just about you and your own characteristics or the expression of the Godhead through you, but it's also about the expression of the Godhead through your whatever. So for Courtney and for Nate, it's not just about the expression of God. Courtney should express the nature of God in her mothering of Nate Jr., little Nate. It's not just that, but it's also God's judgments over Nate, little Nate, that she needs to hold on to, because she's been given authority in this realm, this child's life, and so there's God's judgments that she needs to have. I mean, if she's been given authority there, so then she's been given the judgments of God into there, and so she needs to keep those on behalf of that realm of authority. If I'm, you know, governor of New York State, then I need to know the heart of God for the heart of the New York State and keep that until I see it accomplished as a judgment of God in that realm of authority. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Those are judgments. What has Father judged about you and your arenas of authority? Your nature, your ways, your value, your rewards, and the same for the people or the groups that are in your bailiwick, your region of authority. Have you been listening about his judgments? Have you? Have you been listening enough? Okay, good. Then write some of those things down. What has he said? What are his previously known judgments over you? Have you checked in with him about those? Where do you need to repent in your thinking or in your actions, your thinking and your ways of belief, such that you can come into conformity, into agreement, and life output consistency with what he has told you about that, about you and about your realms of authority? Do you need some additional commands from him to facilitate your movement into his judgment? God, you know what? Here I am. I don't think I'm patient, like you said. You said I'm patient, and I don't see patience. God, tell me how to live patient. Show me how to get, you know, command me into this judgment that you have accomplished for me. You've already spoken your judgment over me. Command me, and I need a little bit extra help on this judgment. You've given me a judgment, and please help me get there. Command me there. Maybe there's smaller details you need to accomplish and acquire through that. Now his appointments. What has Father said about your appointments, your roles, your purposes, the timing of issues and promotions in your life, or your execution of his delegated authority and your arenas of responsibility? What has God said about your appointments? You probably should know. You probably should have some sense of that. It should probably be something you own a bit, because you're supposed to be keeping these things, right? You're supposed to hold on to these, grab these, keep these, right? So you probably ought to know some of that. You've been listening? What are God's previously known appointments in your life? Have you checked in with him about these recently? Or do you need to repent to come into agreement and life output consistent with those appointments? Do you need some commands from him to facilitate your movement into his appointments? You might even need some additional judgments. You should say, okay, God, here I am. I've been put in charge I've been put in charge a little late, okay? Great, God, thank you. Okay, now, God, you know, maybe you ought to give me a little patience because the kid's worrying on me. Okay, I mean, honestly, right? So you might need a judgment of his patience in order to accomplish his appointment. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And so you're always looking to the Lord for more of this stuff that he's got to put into you to accomplish his word over your life. And so this is really just, you know, sort of a fairly silly piece of paper that you can turn into a way of looking at your life, a way of implementing the grace that is inherent in the Word that he's given you in CJA. You understand what I'm saying?
And you will always need more of his love.
You always need
that.
More.
More of his wisdom to accomplish that. We never arrive and say, okay, I got it. God, you can take a vacation. Come back in a year or two. I'll get it done. It doesn't work that way. We always need the flow of his love and wisdom in order to accomplish his purpose. It can't be done any other way.
And the truth of the matter is, so in some ways, you know, it's easy to see. Well, let me just say, I'm a pastor. Okay, anybody want to argue with me? Okay, good. I'm a pastor. All right. So in order for me to be a pastor, God appointed me to be a pastor. Now, I didn't instantly become that pastor. It took time and figuring out and working and living, and eventually I became that thing, okay? And let me just say, I still am becoming it. I am it, but I'm becoming it. But in order to become it and to continuously become it, God needed to work his character, his judgments into me. He had to do stuff into my heart in order for me to be the thing I'm supposed to be. So the appointment depended on the judgments. And I needed to have the judgments of God begin to really do something inside of who I was so that I could take the place in that appointment. And sometimes, in order to have the judgments take root, I needed specific commands from the Lord that said, here's how to do that, okay? I'm making you love for people. I'm gonna make you to love my sheep like I love my sheep, right? And what does he do? Well, he breaks you over something and makes you bleed a little so that, and says, okay, here's where I want you to, this is how I want you to love in this bloody spot right here so that you can know how to love. Okay, so the command enables the judgment, which enables the appointment. And we're always in the need of more of the judgments of God and more of the commands of God to accomplish his appointments. Always. Never, ever do we find ourselves beyond the need to get those things. Pray with me, ready? Father, we come before you just acknowledging our delight in the fact that we need you. Yes, our desperate need for you, but our delight in our needing of you. We express right now our delight and our worship over the fact that you are available to us and that you have given us stuff and that you're always willing to give us more in the way of commands and judgments and appointments. And we just want them. We want them. And we're so delighted in you. We worship you. In this, your day of visitation, we love. And Lord, we love to repent. We love to be shifted. We love to change how we think and act and do. But Lord, we want to grab a hold of your word and to us, each of us individually, and hold on to your commands. Hold on to your judgments and hold on to your appointments. And we love you. Amen. I'd like to assign you to this sheet of paper. I would really encourage, I don't care if you write anything on it. I wish you would. But I'd like to assign this piece of paper to you as a way of inspiring the wrestling, the internal wrestling that will move you in this direction. Popper, are we done with that section? Or
yep.
Okay. All right. We're going to look at the other side of your sheet. And as we approach that, my brother Dave shared something about this lyric. The lyric is, "You reveal your secrets and all your mysteries to those who have fallen completely in love with you."
And so I asked George, how do I fall completely in love with him? If I want the above, then I need to fall completely in love, right? I mean, that's what we sang. And that's what I want. I want him to reveal all the secrets. I want to know all his mysteries. So therefore, I need to be one of those that fell completely in love with him. Follow what I'm trying to say? My question is, how do I do that? And I said to George, how do I fall in love with my wife?
Tom, you've been married many, many years. Do you fall in love with your wife over and over and deeper and differently? I think you do. The more you get to know her, the deeper you fall in love with her. I think about Coralie, and we've been married almost 22 years. I know this woman really pretty well. And then I run into a brick wall, and I do not understand her at all. I'm pretty sure husbands can agree with me on that, and I'm pretty sure the wives would say the same thing. Then don't I have more room to fall more completely in love with her? How do I do that? I do that by concentrating on my bad day at work and my junk and my this. No. I do that by getting out from there and focusing on her. Then isn't that also true of God? By focusing on what he's done in my life, what George just said, his commandments to me, I focus on those. His judgments of me. What does God say about me? He says that I'm this. I see, and everybody else wants to blame me, and they say something different. Then I better be going with his judgments. The world wants to say I'm guilty, I'm this, I'm bad, I sin, I whatever. God says that I am forgiven, that I am. You follow what I'm saying? And so it's that focusing back on him in his commandments, in his what he's done in my life, what his judgments of me are, what his. And when I focus and nibble away at those, I start to fall more completely in love than I ever have.
Now, there's a situation that happened in Exodus 33 where God actually said to Moses, "Hey, Tom.
I remember what Dave told me years ago. You have to teach, you have to treat your wife as to be your best.
You got to love her. You got to love her there, Tom." Exodus 33, Moses was saying, God said to Moses, "You have found favor in my sight, and I'm gonna hang out with you." Moses was a wise man. Moses said, "Really? I've got your favor? Good. I want something from that." Okay? Anybody know that the favor of God is for something? It's for accomplishing something. It's not just a plaque to hang on your wall. Okay? "Oh, I've got the favor of God. Hallelujah." Okay? No. No. The favor of God is for accomplishing something. Okay? Let's suppose that you had the favor of, the town supervisor, and you're building a business there, and you want, favorable tax status. The favor of the guy is so that you can have the favorable tax status. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's for accomplishing something. It's for some good. It's not for being happy about. Well, fine, it's happy, but it's for accomplishing. So Moses said, "Oh, okay. So then I pray. If indeed I've found favor," number one, see it right there on your list? "If I have found favor in your sight, then let me know your ways so that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight." Okay, so we've got this little cyclical thing going. You see, he wants to take the favor and go through a process by which that favor turns into more favor. Does that make sense? I mean, honestly, so if you've got the favor of the governor, the supervisor of the town, and he's going to do some favor for you, word to the wise. Don't have him burn his house down with your favor. Ask for something that will not just take good care of you, but increase him so that there's favor. So that the favor increases too. Listen, this is what I'd like. I'd like to have favorable tax status. And by doing so, I'm gonna, attract additional business through here so it'll increase town revenues. Okay? You give me favorable tax status and I'm gonna increase your revenues, town supervisor, right? Okay, why? you want more favor. This is just wisdom. This is just straight, regular old, basic wisdom. Well, Moses says the same thing here. If I have found favor, then let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. So I've pictured that as a three-part wheel. In the upper left-hand corner is, if I found some favor in your sight, then let's move to the next run to the clockwise. Let me know your ways, so that I may know you, down at the bottom, so that I can find favor in your sight. I want to increase this thing. Now, this wheel, I've drawn it for you in a two-dimensional projection, okay? You can see it's on a piece of paper. But it's not that, okay? The truth is, it's like a helix, okay? So here's your piece of, here's your cycle. And what it is if I find favor, let me know your ways so that I may know you, so that I can get more favor, so that I can continue to get more and more and more in your favor by knowing your ways more and more, so that I can know you more and more and acquire more of your favor. Does that make sense? Do you have a question? And all these things will be added to you. Yeah. That's talking typically about needs, okay? And this is talking about promotion, okay? And so I agree with you. It has a similar kind of a feel. But the point I want to say to you is that there's a cycle of escalation in the favor of God that is available to you. There's a cycle of escalation in the favor of God that's available to you. And Moses, pretty smart dude, kind of knew God in some pretty amazing ways, gave us sort of a picture of that. So I want to talk to you about this cycle. Before I even talk to you about the cycle, I want to point out that in many cycles, like this one, there's no obvious starting point. Where's the beginning here? What is it? Where do you start here? Where do you get? Well, let me just tell you the answer to that. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You start with a miracle. You don't earn any favor to start with. You don't have any grace to begin with. God just says, you know, because I want to do good for you, I'm just simply going to give you some grace anyway, despite you. There's actually a technical term for it, and I've shared it with many of you before. It's called prevenient grace. It's the grace that comes before you even wanted grace, before you even thought you might want grace. God comes and says, here's a piece of grace for you, because I love you. Nothing because of what you did. There's nothing that began this thing except for the goodness of God. You read down Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not even of yourselves, okay? It's a gift of God. You see, God just, you know, on the goodness of his heart, he starts the whole process, not because you had any right to even get here at all. You didn't even want grace. And he gave you some grace to want grace so that you can move up in grace. So that's the beginning. The beginning is he says, here's some grace. Come, you want some more. And you say, I wonder if I could want some of God's grace, okay? And that's how it works. And the reality is there's a piece of grace that begins to give you some faith. And the faith and the grace work together. And you begin to say, okay, maybe I believe. Okay, I believe. And that's a beginning. And the beginning is based on this incredible, free, miraculous gift, unearned completely. Not even thought to earn. Didn't even hardly want to earn it. Didn't even think about it. And God says, here's some. And you know that when, you know, you get in to the grace of God, you begin to go from a sense of earning something to a sense that God just gives you things. It's his goodness. And based on his goodness, based on his life-giving love, he says, here's some salvation. Not because you did anything good, but because I'm good. And you get into this mode of beginning, just beginning to barely understand and barely expect and barely believe that God is so good that he wants to give you things that you don't deserve. And that if you'll believe in him, he'll do it. Okay? That's so that's just the very beginning, up in that left-hand upper quadrant, or triad, whatever that is. Then you begin to understand some other things. Okay, that let me say that in order to accept by faith the salvation that is Jesus, you have to say, must be God sees things differently than me, and his way of seeing things is better. Okay? So he's going to do this crazy thing called salvation, and the way he's going to see me is righteous, based on Jesus. Okay? I know better. Yeah, I can see too. But I'm going to believe what God sees, okay? I'm going to see how he sees just this little tiny, tiny little bit, this iota of a something. I'll see how God sees a little bit. Because God sees me differently than I see me, and more benevolently than I see me. He's better about things than I am. I begin this process of receiving a little piece of grace, finding the favor in his sight. You see? Grace and favor are very interchangeable and interconnected. Understanding then that he has saved me and that he invites me in, this is the day of his visitation. You see, every time, every day that you receive an iota of grace is your day of visitation. Suggestion? Maybe you want to recognize the day of your visitation. Just a suggestion. You know what I'm saying? That's sort of one of those good suggestions that I might make. Okay? Recognize the day of your visitation. You see, Jesus came on Palm Sunday, and he was there. And he was there in all his glory. Yes, and they worshiped, but they didn't recognize the day of their visitation. Because they didn't put to use, like Zacchaeus had just put to use, they didn't put to use the grace that was available in that day. So in that very beginning cycle, you find a little favor. You begin to understand a little bit that God sees me a little differently than I've seen myself. And in that, you begin to know his ways. Oh, wow, he's got a better way of seeing me than I do. I like that. Maybe I should listen to what he's got to say. And in that, there's a beginning. A beginning of the CJA, okay? A beginning of being able to possibly hear his commands. You've already heard a piece of his judgment. I decide you're righteous despite your actions. I've attributed to you holiness based on Jesus, not based on you. Okay? You begin to recognize some of his judgments and some of his commands. You start to listen to his judgments and his commands and even his appointments. You recognize that his judgments are awfully good to me. And maybe you obey one or two of his commands and you say, oh my goodness, that worked out. That was life-giving. And you see his appointments, oh my goodness, if that were true, boy, oh boy, that'd be good for me. And boy, you know what, beyond that, you know, maybe even there'd be something good through me. Something good would happen out of my life. Wow. You see that the stuff that he has for you is good, okay? You start to say, this sounds pretty good. Thanks for that grace. Maybe I should put this to work. Maybe you begin to understand that the stuff that underlies who he is and what his goodness and his love are the things that promote you through his commands, judgments, and appointments. And maybe, even, possibly, maybe it takes a few more cycles here, okay? But possibly you begin to see that you know, he's good to me, but he's also good to Pat, okay? It could be that I could possibly see how good he is also to Pat. It's possible that I could then begin to recognize that maybe that's just how God is. Wow, maybe. It's not just me, maybe it's also Pat. Maybe it's, goodness, it could be me and Pat and Dorothy. Wow, this is how he is. And I begin to know him, just a little bit. Because I've begun to know his ways, I begin to know him. Begin to get the idea that his ways, the way he deals with me and maybe others too, are the perfect expressions of who he is himself. Begin to understand that those things that, you know, I've seen him do for me, that's just like the nature of the guy. Okay, that's who he is. Wow. Begin to know him. Begin to see him as the ultimate personal definition of universal goodness and ultimate love. His person is the definition of some of these amazing good things. And so you've come to know him just a little bit. And when you know him just a little bit, you know what happens? His favor becomes available to you. Now let me tell you something. When we talk about finding favor, in the sight of someone, in the initial go-round, it kind of feels like accidentally, or just by accident, I found favor. Oh, it happened. Okay, so because of God's goodness, His goodness happened upon me. I found favor in His sight. Okay. But then there's another little dynamic here. Let's talk about the second dynamic. As we begin to get to know who God is, we can actually find, okay, actually really go after and locate, discover favor in His sight. Okay, so let's talk about that. So if I will see as He sees, as I begin to understand how He sees, I can use how He sees to discover, to find additional grace. You see, the more I know how He sees me, the more I can investigate that goodness and that love that's underlying it, and I can acquire for myself grace that He has for me to discover in how He sees. You see, that's finding favor in His sight. That's investigating to acquire and discover His grace and His goodness in the ways that He sees me and possibly others. Okay, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but you see, the first cycle, you just take a little bit of grace and know a little bit about His ways and know a little bit about who He is, which moves you into knowing Him. But let me just say this. Favor, grace, is not a number or a piece of paper to hang on your wall. It's something to be actuated. It's something to be lived in. It's something to be grasped, holding. To let it accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. You see, recognizing the day of the visitation kind of thing. When the grace is available, grabbing a hold of that is what you should do. You see, you bury your mina, and the master's not that happy. You take the mina and you invest it, and he says, well done. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Because guess what his purpose is? Guess what his purpose is? You see, he's not interested in giving you grace so you can hang it on the back of your wall and say, yep, I got grace. Okay? He wants you to activate by that grace. You look in these notes, and maybe I'll talk to you guys about these notes again because it's getting late. And I have much more I wanted to say about this, but I don't want to take the next hour to do it. Go ahead. Estella.
Meets us where we're at, and then we go to the next step. And the momentum builds.
That's right.
As soon as he's here, he knows he's right there.
That's exactly right. He's right there. And all of him, one of the notes says, is imminently available. I.e., his grace eventually brings us to the place that says that the stuff that I need for whatever, for my CJs and A's, okay? the stuff that I need for CJA is not just out there somewhere, but it's right here, right now, available to me. I need to reach. I need to grab. Because I'm holding on to His Word, and I'm holding on to Him. So now let me say, before I go too much further, that as you find favor in His sight, you will discover His grace and His royal favor, His royal scepter over your life. As you begin to see yourself and others, your circumstances, your authority, your situation, as God sees, as you see those, favor becomes at your disposal. As you exercise that favor, He'll give you the commands and the judgments over you and over your sectors and the appointments. He'll give you that, those CJAs, and it's what He says that counts. You see, what He tells you, that's what matters. What He commands you, you can do that. What He judges you, you actually are that. You know, I don't care what you think about yourself or how you're acting or anything. Where He appoints you, yep, that's where He's appointed you. That's the truth. Fact. That's your position. That's your timing. Yeah, I don't care what it looks like. Because you see how God sees. Do you see what I mean? And it's in that that the favor comes out. And then, over time, you begin to know His ways, i.e. how He lives. You see, because as you know Him more, you recognize that His purpose isn't simply to build you up into something. His purpose is to build you up into Himself. To accomplish such a perfect rendition of Himself in you that it's pretty hard to tell where you stop and He starts. You see, Dave talks to us about this love cycle that needs continuous effort and continuous sync. Well, you know what? God provides the impetus. It's called grace. In your days of visitation, it's called grace, okay? He provides the impetus. And in that is the ability for you to know His commands and judgments and appointments. For you to know His ways and to become like Him as you know Him. You see, knowing Him isn't just, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Knowing Him is becoming one with Him such that you are just like that guy until it's so hard to find the difference between the two. Now, you've heard about the couple that, you know, they spend so much time together, they start to look like each other, right? You've heard about that, right? Well, the truth of the matter is that there is a cycle of escalation in the grace of God that God intends to use to move you into His likeness until you just look just like Him. That's His purpose. Maybe I'll talk to you more about this next week. Maybe not. We'll see. But there's investigation available here. I guess what I would like to leave you with, given where we are and what time it is at this moment, I would like to leave you with the reality that God is talking to you, and He has said some things to you. He's given you commands, and He's given you judgments. He's spoken to you about who you are and how you are. He's spoken to you about your roles and your purposes. He's going to speak and is interested in speaking to you about those things. And I want to encourage you that this is a key aspect to this cycle that we're talking about. Can I just say that this cycle, just like any other cycle, Jim, if I have a three-stage cycle and it's a closed loop, how many places at least can I prevent that cycle from going on? The infinity and beyond, but at least three, okay? At least three, okay? There's got to be, I mean, even if this piece is working perfectly, this piece is working perfectly, and this piece is working perfectly, I got to get from here to here, and from here to here, and from here to here. Oh, it's got to be, and yes, there's so many places in between. But here's the deal. Let me just say to you, you can hang the favor up on the wall and do nothing with it and never know His ways. You can hear His commands and not hold on to them and never begin to really know who He is. You can know a little something about who he is, but never discover the grace. Find the grace that's in his sight. Find the favor that's in his sight. What do you want? Can I tell you what God wants? God wants this. That's what he wants. What do you want? Do you want to recognize the day of your visitation? Hosanna. Oh, save. Hosanna. Oh, save. Hosanna. You want to recognize the day of your visitation? Then find favor. Let me just say something. You've already found favor. You have. Find some more. And then look at your commands, judgments, and appointments. Ask yourself. Ask God. Show me, God, how to... You know, I've been holding on to this for a while. Is there another judgment that you need to speak into me, or a command, or you know, an appointment of some sort that I need to receive in order to implement these other things? Help me, God. Guess what? His grace is there to help you. His word is there available to you. His presence, as Estella told us, the reality of his imminence, he's imminently there. He's omnipresent. That means he's right there. He's omniscient. That means he knows exactly what you need to know. He's omnipotent. That means he's got the power to accomplish in you just exactly what you need. He's imminently, he's just ready to burst right there where you are. Estella.
How long will I look for my keys before I go to my knees?
How long will I look for my keys before I go to my knees? And here's the deal. He's got keys to find your keys. And if you'll listen to him, he'll find your keys for you. And in the middle of it, you'll do another cycle to accomplish your promotion, which is what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants to give you more grace. He wants to accomplish more. And he... Have you ever heard of a king or a emperor called His Eminence? Or His Eminence? Right? Well, let me just tell you. God is right with you with all of the knowledge and all of the power. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He is right here with all of the power and all of the knowledge that you need. And he wants to pop you up another level. That's what your day of visitation is about. If you look at that simple, you know, children's story of Zacchaeus, Jesus was on his way. Prevenient grace said, why don't you climb that tree, Zach? There was a sycamore right there. God planted it so that it would be right there so that he could climb it. There's a little oomph that said, climb the tree. The guy climbs the tree. The presence of Jesus shows up. Jesus gives him a little offer. A little bit more grace. I'd like to come to your house today. You know, Zacchaeus could have not climbed the tree because he wasn't good enough to see Jesus. He wasn't good enough. He was a bit of a jerk, right? So he could have not climbed the tree. He could have refused the grace to have Jesus come to his house. Because he's not good enough for having Jesus to his house. You're right, right? It's almost embarrassing to have a good guy come to your house when you're that much of a rat. Okay? Honestly. It just doesn't make sense. Okay? You're going to refuse the grace. Well, the reality is, when Jesus came, let me just say, Jesus didn't tell the guy that he needed to give the money back that he'd stolen. You know that? He didn't say anything. Well, as far as the scriptures say. But there was grace, and he put it to work. Jesus said something about him. Let's just see what he says. Anybody remember? Dad, you remember, right? Today, salvation has come to this house. He didn't say man. He said house. So let me just tell you something. Salvation came to Zacchaeus. Oh, yeah, that's true. Tell you another thing. Salvation came to all of Zacchaeus's bailiwick, all of his region of authority. Why? Because Zacchaeus had come and accessed and executed on the grace that he was available. Let me just, I didn't even read this. I should have read the whole thing. Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down. I like that. Grab a hold of some commands from the Lord and just do them, okay? Grab them, keep them. And received him gladly. And when they saw it, they began to grumble. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The reality is, we have grace. Your day of visitation is today and is tomorrow. And the question is, CJA, what are you going to do with them? CJA, have you lost any? Go get them. Keep them. If it fell down and went under the bed and got hidden under the rug, find that thing, okay? Grab a hold of it. Keep it, because it's good. It's good for you. Amen? Cause us, Lord, to attend to your word with the intensity of desire that's commensurate with the worth of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here. Love you all. Sorry I'm a little bit long again today. Bless you. Grace to you.